You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Carter, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We hear screams. Break in day, we hear these siren-type screams.
But it is not like
anything else. They just were too early.
And they're
frozen like a tree.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Things to go along with it, and all they did was talk about last week's show. Even the people that didn't hear it firsthand, they went to their podcast, and my gosh, you never told me, Marco Bill, how many people listen to this thing and download these podcasts.
Well, yeah, well, we're back up there again. We're every week we hit the top 50 list on the podcast, and we're again this
really?
Week. Yep.
All those thousands out there, we're in the top 50?
We're in the top 500, and out of the top 500, we're in the top 50, and we're about the 7th or 8th down the list.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that means we've got a bunch of people out there that like what we're doing, don't you think?
Yeah, about 1,200 downloads this week.
1,200 downloads. Well, that's a good thing.
187 people in Beijing, China listen to this show.
Listen to us in Beijing, in China?
Yes.
Wow, can you imagine? Well,
six in Australia.
And Australia.
Four or five in the United Kingdom.
Oh, my gosh.
A whole bunch. All over.
Well, that's a good thing, though, isn't it?
It sure is, yes.
They enjoy listening to us. And I'm proud of it because I got to tell you, there were some people that said, hey, Tom, you were on a tyrant last week. I swear to God, they did. And they, 'cause it's not usual with me, but, you know, at the same point in time, I don't know. It's just, I'm tired of the bullshit. You know what I'm saying, Marco? And all I want to do is just go forward and enjoy my life, whatever left that I got, and go forward in the Bigfoot world and let everybody know how we see it, when we see it, and where we see it. That's all. And I don't want them to go fall for all this malarkey. That's all right now, you know?
Yeah, I got to kind of make an announcement myself, Tom. We have some really good listeners out there, and they keep me in line every once in a while. And the podcast archive that we did for show 238, which was not last week's, but the week before, was really bad audio. And what happens is the podcast does a conversion of the audio file when you post it, and sometimes it puts all kinds of squeaks and burps in it, and I didn't catch it. And so some good people sent me an email. I fixed it and put it back up there, and now it's much better. But anybody listens and they see anything, send me an email. Tell me how screwed up we are. I'll try to fix it.
and that's where I was going to come in, and you just gave me a great segue. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand something. I'm just as good as the guy that's in the engineering room and between the pushing the buttons and the computers and making this whole thing happen. Because if I didn't have him, you wouldn't have me, and there would be no show. And I want to thank you, Mr. Marco Bill, from the bottom of my heart for what you've done for me, for all of our listeners around the globe, because you're the only guy. Listen to me close, ladies and gentlemen. He is the only guy since we started this show who's never had a day off on a Wednesday or on special events that went more than a Wednesday, okay? He has never, ever had a day off. He has gone almost 5 years straight through sickness, health, and everything else to make this show happen.
We're a team.
We're
a team.
Okay? Yeah. And ladies and gentlemen, to show you that I listen and you've got my ear, a guy emails me today, Ben Schneider. Is that his last name, Ben Schneider?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, Tom. Yeah.
And he says, hey, Tom. He says, you know, you were on a tirade and you were doing this and doing that on the last show, but how come you've got the video and the images of Patterson's film? So I told Ben, and I said, you know, Ben, I said, the reason being is that's the only thing that anybody out there in mainstream America or in the Bigfoot world really believes in, because it happened so far back in 1967. And he understood all that. And I hope we got over that, Ben. And this show is dedicated to you, my man, because, and then you know what he says to me? He says, my gosh, he says, I wrote you an email and you sent me back your phone number. You're right, Ben. I'm accessible to all people out there. I'm not like the rest of these people that you can't get a hold of, that they're all phonied up. What you see with Tom Biscardi is what you get. Yes, I'm real. I'm just like you and everybody else in this world, and I put my pants on when I get up one leg at a time, and I heel and toe it down that road. But thank you for all those kind words, and thank you for your recognitions of what you thought and you said. And I hope I answered your questions, Mr. Ben Schneider. Without any further ado, I'm going to get on with the show because I don't want to get into all that heavy lecturing and garbage that we did last week. So you got to forgive me for that, good buddy. Anyhow, we're going to get out there to Arkansas. We're going to talk to Bridget. We're going to discuss that situation that happened in 2009 at 4th of July.
And Bridget, so you're on.
The Prince.
Yes.
The fireworks, she got to see Bigfoot prints. And her cousin, just days prior to that, saw a creature in the same area. Without any further ado, we're going out to Arkansas. How you doing, Bridget?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, honey, when I hear your voice, I melt. How are you is the question. Well, you just melted. You still with us?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
I can, loud and clear, darling. Do me a favor. For the people that haven't heard you in the past and they're hearing you for the first time, tell us that story from beginning to end. You've got the stage, darling.
Thank you so much. Back in 2009, it was the 4th of July. It was on a Saturday. Me and my family went camping at the lake. The way the road is you go down there so far, and then it veers off to the left to go down by the lake. And if you stay on the main dirt road another 250 yards, it's like a little camp area. Well, we veered off to the left. We got down there. We set up our tent. Me and my sister and my husband, we went to go designate a restroom area. So we walked back up to the main dirt road, and we were, you know, going up to the circle area. And we just happened to look down, and we seen prints. And they were, like, 17 inches long. And the stride between each print was, like, 5 feet. I could lay down between them. I went running down to the camp to get my cousin and the rest of my family because I wanted someone else to see this. On the way back, I noticed that after the veer, there's a bush. Well, on the opposite side of the bush, there was a footprint about 15 inches long. It came out to the main dirt road, and as the one with 17-inch prints was walking up the main dirt road, this one kind of veered across up a little bit, but it diagonaled to the right. And then it turned back straight and went to the right side of the big one, the big print, and walked on up the path, the dirt road, to the turnaround area. My cousin looked at me. Her face went, oh, she was dumbfounded, and she's like, Bridget, last weekend, me and my husband, I was laying down the street. We were coming back, and he said he seen a big, tall, hairy Bigfoot cross the road right in front of him. It didn't even take 2 steps to get across this dirt road, and the span of the dirt road is a little over 8 feet wide.
Wow. Did he mention the size or anything?
He said it was over 8 feet tall. He said it was big, tall, and hairy, and I have to say, since he's seen it, he has quit camping at that part of the lake and has found another part to camp at. It's scared him.
Okay. So, have you yourself ever saw one of these things?
I could never be so lucky. I've tried.
Okay. Is there any action going on in your area now as we speak? Or has
been? In the area I live in, I've never really noticed anything. I camp around here a lot. I did hear a elderly, God-fearing Christian woman tell someone that she had seen it eating out of her garden.
Really?
Really. And that's less than 10 miles from my mom's house.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have that woman's name and phone number? We'd love to talk to her.
Unfortunately, she passed away from cancer.
Okay. What about any family members?
My sister is actually, she was with me to see the footprints. She's actually here. I can go get her and put her on the phone if you'd like to talk to her.
So she actually saw it?
Yes. My sister, my cousin, my husband, my mom actually went up and seen them, my sister's husband.
That's the ones that you guys saw, but I'm talking about the one of the woman who passed from cancer in her backyard, the ones that in her garden.
I don't believe anyone else saw that, just her.
Okay, well, will you do me a big favor when you can?
Yes.
Okay. Check around and find out if there's any other stories in there in that neck of the woods. What part of Arkansas, by the way?
I live in the Harriet, Arkansas.
Oh, Harriet.
Neck of the woods.
Know it well. Yeah. Well, you know, check around. Bridget, and find out what you can find out for me. And at the same point in time, you find anything that you think would be interested to me and my listeners around the globe, get back to Marco Bill, and we'll have you on, and we'll see if we can chat with you a little bit, okay?
All right, and if you guys ever come out searching in this part of the woods, please, you've got my info, give me a call. I'll be more than happy to go with you.
Oh, well, listen, you're invited. I'm going to make a public invitation to you right now. So when we come down there, you take book on it that you're invited, and we'll love to have you.
Oh, I'd love to join.
All right, honey. God bless you, and just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot of show ahead of us, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rick, honey.
Just if you hit your star and six button, you can listen to the rest of the show.
Oh, thank you. You guys have a wonderful show.
You too, darling. Thanks for sharing with us.
Bye.
Yeah, you're welcome. That's Bridget, ladies and gentlemen, from down there in Arkansas. Sweet gal. Listen, Marco, let's pay some bills. Let's go to commercial.
Okay, here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
Boy, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Back to you, Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about, that was the preview, the trailer of Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. If you haven't seen it, you've all heard about it. It was the seventh largest story that ran around the world in 2008. You need to see this because it's going to be an award winner, I guarantee it. I think we brought it back after we released it. It's got a new cover. It's got new music. It's got everything. It shortened it out. It flows super easy. And when you see it, you're compelled. You're at the edge. You're at the edge, ladies and gentlemen, of your chair. You can't wait to see what happens next. And you know what? It's done in real time. No fabrications, all when it happened. You can get it on our website, searchingforbigfoot.com. You can go to amazon.com, The Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Let's see here. We're going to go to my good buddy down there in Kentucky. We're going to talk to Leroy Blevins. You all heard me talk about him. Here's a guy that's relentless hours with the assassination of Kennedy, with the Patterson film, the Lost Ark, the whole nine yards. This guy is gifted, just gifted. Came out and he said, hey, Tom, did you know? Yes, I did know that the film that was used had audio to it. He found out. Because the rest of the world never knew that. They all thought it was just done with some kind of 8mm stuff. Well, it wasn't done with that. You know, they had Bolexes back in them day. They had Kodak 100s also. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Kentucky and talk to Leroy. Leroy, you there, son?
Yes, I'm here, Tom.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Well, first of all, I understand that you got a chance to see the Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. What'd you think?
Oh, I loved it. It answered a lot of questions, I guarantee you that. If people watch, if people actually see that and see the stuff that you guys had to go through, I tell you, them guys, I just don't know what to say. I'll be honest with you. I'm stunned of what I've seen.
Well, you know, you said it answered a lot of questions. And any in particular that the audience out there might have the same kind of questions, that the question that was answered for you that you want to talk about real quick?
Well, the only question that bothers me is, like, when I do my research and stuff, everybody puts you in the hoax, and that's a bunch of crock, okay? You know, just because you brought this out don't make you a part of what them guys did. You see what I'm saying? And that's what aggravates me the most about that hoax that they did, is everybody tried to pin it on you when it wasn't your fault to begin with. It was them two guys.
You hit it right on the head, too. Yeah. Okay. All right. And I'm glad, okay? And you and I have not talked about this, and that came out of your own mouth. So I want everybody to understand this, okay? You've got to see this movie. If you have, and I know there's an awful lot of you that haven't, okay? You've got to see The Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Okay, now, we're done. Let's shelve that for the time being. And let's go on to this. You got intrigued with the Patterson footage. And as you put it, the Patterson and Gimlin research. What all of a sudden came about that you found out that there was audio versus wasn't in the past?
Okay, well, when I was first looking over some, MK Davis sent me some photos of the actual film. And if you look on the side, you can see where they actually have recordings on it, okay? And he's got recording marks on it. So after I found out, hey, this film had record, you know, sound to it, and I started going back and looking over old, clippings from newspapers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when they advertised it, it says in full color and sound. And when on the marquee that they put it out, it says the first actual motion picture of Bigfoot, America's Abominable Snowman. He always used even the same name in his marquees. It's in full color and it says sound on it. And he uses the same name that he used for his documentary. He never called it the PG film. He called it Bigfoot, America's Abominable Snowman.
That's true. That's true. Okay. So why do you think that in all these 40-some-odd years, they never talked about the audio?
Because actually, if they play the audio, people will know that it was spliced together. That's why.
Hello? Hello? Did you hear what he said, ladies and gentlemen? Okay, say that again.
If they actually play the audio, you can actually tell it was spliced together.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's see if we all understand what Leroy just said. Okay? In other words, the film that we all saw, the film that's been brought to prominence for in excess of 40 years, that was not done in real time, was it?
No.
Okay.
It was pieced together.
It was pieced together. And when do you think that film was taken, Leroy Blevins?
Honestly, I say during the summer of 1967. Because the things I found out places it during summertime, not wintertime.
Uh-huh. So let me ask you, with all the research that you've done and with Mr. Long's book that he's got out there, on the drawing board about 6-7 months prior to that, wasn't Roger Patterson going out there going to do a movie anyway, a documentary on Bigfoot?
Well, that's what that's where actually PG film came from, was his documentary that he was filming.
Oh, I wanted you to say it now. That's why I'm just... So that's how it came about, didn't it?
Yeah, because Roger Patterson and Jerry Merritt, after they got done filming the documentary, they went to Hollywood trying to sell it. Well, they couldn't make no money off, they couldn't sell it or anything else, and Roger Patterson owed a lot of people a lot of money. So what they did was, is they took the film, one place, and spliced it all together to make this creature film. That's why when you look at the film, these are the questions that I came up with when I started looking at the film. One, when I watch a film, if it's supposed to be done in fall time, especially at the end of October, why ain't there any leaves on the ground? Why ain't there any leaves blowing around? Or anything else, you don't see none of that in the film at all. And when there's a very wooded area like it was supposed to be filmed at, you would see that on the ground. Now, when you watch Bigfoot walk, the first part was actually filmed when the sun was setting, because you could see the sun was setting in the west when you add up the frames. But in the second part of the walk, you can actually see it was done at high noon. And then the key factor of them filming that movie was it was supposed to be shot on a Friday. Now, if it was shot on a Friday, how'd they get around all the trucks and all the loggers there that was in that area cutting down trees, going up and down the roads and stuff they made to do their logging? So that automatically tells you it could have been not filmed on a Friday. It had been done on a weekend at some point in time where there wasn't nobody around in that area.
Take my hat off to you, my friend. I take my hat off to you. So let me ask you something. You come out and you found this out on your own through your investigations and hard work. Is that correct?
Yes, I did all the contacts myself. I didn't follow nobody else's research or anything like that. I went ahead and done my own research. That's why people does the research and look at this, look at that. Just like these, okay, let's take example some of the Bigfoot research. Well, no, I'm not going to call them Bigfoot researchers. Some of the researchers actually did research on the film. I sit there and gone through interviews or hearing their interviews, them talk, and they said, well, the creature in the film is real. And they said, well, how real would you think it is? They said, well, I say 80% real, but there's always that 20%. And then these same guys was asked the questions of, well, do you believe in Bigfoot yourself? And they said, well, I have to go on 50-50 on that. Now, me, when I study the film, one, I say it's 100% fake on the PG film. And as far as Bigfoot, I say it's 100% real. Okay, it's not no 50-50 or 80-20. It's either you're 100% sure or you're not sure at all.
I want you to tell me in your own words, and I want you to quote Mr. John Green, who was there on that site to investigate, took pictures himself, took measurements, plaster Paris casts, and what have you. When he saw your reenactment of making the Bigfoot Patty suit, what did he say to you?
Oh, he actually told me that, he says, I'm impressed with the research you have shown, especially in the costume that you have made, which is the closest I've ever seen.
And you have that in the email form directly from Mr. John Green. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Because I remember you reading it to me.
Yeah.
And this is what blows my mind, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? Now, I'm telling you, I'm not going to harp much on this, but here's a man that's kind of, he didn't devote 3 or 4 years of his life like M.K. Davis has. And by the way, let's put that into the mix right now. What about this massacre of all those creatures up there in Black Bluff Creek?
There was no massacre there because the film does not show what they're pointing out. I mean, some things that they've gone on too far. Like, okay, I'm sorry to say this, M.K. I apologize for it. I'm not trying to get him upset or nothing. But I don't see no blood in the film whatsoever. I don't see no blood pit. I don't see no skins. I don't see no bullet entering Bigfoot's leg, because if a bullet was shot, you would see blood splatter flying all over the place, and that would buckle their leg, hit that person's leg underneath them, and they would just fall straight to the ground. And they sure still wouldn't be walking real calmly away if it was being shot.
And that's my whole point, ladies and gentlemen. I brought that up last week when somebody called me and said, hey, man, it was shot and everything. And I'm saying, what's wrong with you people? You saw the film. You saw the images. As the creature is walking and it's at a steady pace and it goes a little bit quicker and he turns and looks or she turns and looks, and then all of a sudden it's supposed to have been shot in its right leg. If anything was shot in any leg, it would be downed and it would be crawling and then it would be, you'd hear a horrific sounds. It just didn't happen, folks. It just didn't happen. And as far as this massacre, man, I don't know. The only thing I can think, there's a lot of people out there drinking a lot of wine. What do you think?
They've got to be on something, to be honest with you, Tom, because I don't know where they're coming up with this. I really don't.
It's incredible, isn't it? It really is. But you know what? Go ahead.
They call me crazy, and they call me dumb because I said, well, here's a hat. And I show the two frames that show the brim of the hat and then the full figure of the hat. And they said, I'm crazy for seeing that. And then they're going to say, well, you're crazy for seeing Bob Gimlin behind the brush because that Bigfoot is actually 30 feet away from the tree. That means Bob Gimlin had been over 20 feet. No, that part of the film was not even shot at Bluff Creek. That was shot somewhere else, the first part of the walk. Because if you take that frame that they was filming in that part there, you cannot line it up nowhere at Bluff Creek.
Boy, you're a hell of a sleuth, dude. I enjoy you, I got to tell you. Because here you are, a common guy just like myself. We're just two common Joes, okay? And all we're trying to do is make heads or tails of something that you can't make heads or tails of. Because it's bullshit. I said it, and I'll continue to say it, all right? Now, the big problem that we have here, and I'm sorry that the Bigfoot world, the ones that are not in the know, they think that this is a real deal. Okay, God bless you, I did the same thing. That's what got me started in this thing. What's the name of that frame there? What number is that frame number, Leroy, where you can see the actual head of the foot? When you see it, it's just blank there.
I forgot. I ain't got that up right now. One thing I know is just the part where it shows. Actually, it showed it's just an image of it. The frame they use, you go on the internet and look all over the internet, which you'll see on my site as well, that picture. And that's all it is just mainly one frame of a picture they took. And you could, as soon as you type in Patterson Bigfoot and go search for images, you'll see that picture. That'd be one of almost one of the first pictures to pop up.
Exactly. Well, that's the one. It's the famous one. And the pad on the bottom, it's a different color completely, and you could see that it's just a pad. That's all it was, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, Leroy, I got to tell you. Now, let's tell everybody your website is www.pgfilm.webs.com/?
Yes, that's it.
Now, if my listeners, they can go up there, and what can they see?
Well, I got three pages done so far. The main page, the book page, which I still got to add something else on there because I just found out today when I was looking over some stuff that actually Roger Patterson sold his book and rights to it in October 27th, 1966.
The year before.
Yeah, he sold his rights to the book, and anything that has to do with the book, he sold it for $500.
Now, I didn't know that. Where'd you find that?
I was just going through the net trying to get more information out, and then I went to legal documents and stuff, and there was a document there that had Roger Patterson on it selling his rights to the book called Do Abominable Snowmans of America Really Exist? He sold it for $500. It was the contract was notarized and everything else, and anything that has to do with the book that people don't know about, that the guy that bought the book writes off of them, the pictures, the photos, and everything, anything that has to do with this book, he owns rights to it. And if anything was used from this book or anything, actually was supposed to be copyrights to his family members. Because he's got full rights to it now and forever from him, the guy itself, which you'll see on my website, through his family line.
Wow. That is incredible. Okay, I didn't know. That's something entirely new for me. I got to tell you that. Okay.
Yeah.
Entirely new. I'm really, really. That's blowing my mind. I'd really like to see this.
I'll send you a copyright. Here in a minute.
Yeah. By the way, there's somebody that just sent this to me. stating that the Patterson film is a fake. Proof Patterson Bigfoot Man is a man in a monkey suit, and it's right here. It's showing the human foot, the gorilla foot, and the costume's foot. And it's that's one that I was talking about, the padded costume foot bottom, and I'll be damned. Here it is right here. I'm looking at it right now. Wow. I'll send this to you. I don't know who sent this to me. It's anonymous.
Okay.
And here it goes on and on about all this stuff about him. But I'm looking at it right now, and it's just what I described, ladies and gentlemen. I'll send this to you too, Marco. You need to put this up. Let the people see this.
Sure. What did that
It's just blowing my mind. Wow.
Okay. I'll put it on my website too.
Yeah, do that, because this is incredible. Matter of fact, let me just go over here and see if I can just maybe tell you guys what the hell it is here. Here it is. It's www.bigfootmustdie.com/ Patterson-Bigfoot-film-fake-html. Let me do it one more time. You need to see this, folks. Guest 19503, I don't know who you are, but thank you. And I'd like to give you credit for this if you're not afraid to tell us who you are. Connie, if you're in the room there, find out who guest 19503 is. It's www.bigfootmustdie.com/Patterson-Bigfoot-film-fake-html.
It's got to be .html, Tom.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Maybe I can't see. I'm too old. .html. Did you pull it up, Marco?
No, I didn't.
This is incredible stuff. I mean, you've got to see this.
I don't have a screen to pull it up, but it's all full of other stuff.
No, I understand. It's just blowing my mind, right? But you guys need to see this, okay? Listen, Leroy, just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot of show. We got Becky Butello coming on from Washington, and you guys are going to hear some good stuff. And I want to thank you so much, okay?
Okay, Tom. I'll talk to you later then, bud.
God bless you. Be well. Thanks for sharing part of the evening with us.
All right, you too. Good night.
Good night. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Leroy Blevins. I love having the man on. He is so on top of things. And, folks, you got to see this. And I understand that Alex already posted it. Self-posted wrong, Alex. But it's incredible. I mean, it shows the human foot, the gorilla's foot, and a costume's foot. Ladies and gentlemen, can't be any more plainer than that. Let's come out and look at it. Now that more evidence is coming out that this thing was filmed a year prior, October, a year prior. Without any further ado, I want to get up there to see Becky. And I want to talk to Becky, and she's got a friend with us, Mr. Mike Rodriguez. They're both from up there in Washington. They're going to discuss more of the research, the experiences up there in the area, even on the military reservations. Hi, Becky.
Oh. Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
Good, good. Is Mike with us?
He is. Would you like to talk to him?
Well, I thought he was on the same line with us, didn't he?
Well, I'm just going to hand the phone over to him, and he can share what he knows or what he encountered.
Okay, but let's you start the stage first. Let's
okay.
Go to YouTube, and then when we hit to the point of bringing him in, then you do that with the phone, okay, hon?
All righty. To just introduce him, Mike is my daughter's boyfriend / fiance. And he is a special operations instructor on Fort Lewis base, retired, but he trains there. They pay him to train. And he was out about 2 in the morning, and him and his buddy were coming around this is the way he explained it to me, coming around a bend. They were deep into the Fort Lewis reservation and saw this creature, and he's never seen one before. He didn't even know he was seeing it at first. And he knew that, you know, everybody who knows me knows, you know, that I believe in him. And he had seen this thing run away on 2 legs. And it just freaked him out. So he came running over here to me to try to explain to me what he saw. And I've already known, you know, for some time that they're out there. This is about 12 miles from where my mom lived. It's the same reservation that I've, you know, encountered creatures and heard things and, you know, there's other things that I've never mentioned, like my sister being chased, you know, on her horse about 30 years ago out there. And there's just, you know, there's a lot of evidence to point to that fact. And so when he told me this, I was pretty intrigued. And I thought that maybe you would be interested and the listening audience would be interested to hear his story.
First of all, I want to thank you. And you know that I'm interested and my listeners around the globe are also in agreement with me that they're interested, and we can't wait to talk to him. Now, did we fill everything in there from last week when you were on about your experience?
Well, there were several things that I was talking about. The only thing that I was never able to really get to the bottom of, and I didn't know if I really wanted to talk on the air about it, I wanted to speak to that Morris. He was a guest on the show. And he had been talking about some of his experiences kind of along the supernatural, or I'm not sure how you would describe that or how you personally, Tom, would describe that. But he's had a lot of really interesting experiences that he shared on the air. And I had a very odd situation happen to me when I had moved back to that property when I was 32 years old. And I still have no explanation for it. So and I'm not sure how to explain that to you, really. It's that there was something in my house, and that's all I know. There was something in my house breathing it.
Time. I know you're
okay.
On a roll, honey.
Okay.
I want you to understand something to me right now. A lot of people don't know what you're talking about. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Here's what I want you to do. I want
All right.
to give them a brief encounter about the time
that this creature, while you were doing the dishes, and what happened, or came by the window there?
Well, actually, it was my mom and my sisters that were in the kitchen doing the dishes, and I had just got done feeding my horses, and I was sitting in the living room watching a TV show. I was sitting in a chair, and I was leaning backward against this extremely large plate glass window. And when I was laughing because it was a comedy, and I turned my head, and all of a sudden my brain registered that I had seen something. But I had never seen a creature before. I had never even heard of them. I was 15 years old, and, you know, we weren't allowed to watch a whole lot of TV. I didn't even know about the Patterson-Gimlin film or any of this stuff. So I sit there thinking, what did I just see? So I turned, as I was still sitting in that chair, and looked this thing right in the eye. And it's standing right there on the other side of that plate glass window, which by this time in all these years, I'm realizing this is phenomenal. Back then, I was terrified and paralyzed with fear. But it just stood there and stared at me right into my soul. I felt like it was looking into my soul. And he didn't look too all happy either. And I don't know if it's because he didn't want me looking at him, but I couldn't help it. I was paralyzed, and the only thing that would move was my eyes, and I eventually got a hold of myself, was able to look him up and down and see that he was, you know, like a silver color, grayish white. And he had black and brown sparse hairs all through him, and I was looking at his massive shoulders and how he had no neck and this long, silky, his hair. This hair was not matted and coarse and muddy. It was silky. And I don't know how he could have possibly got himself that way. Of course, we're still learning. But all I know is what I saw. And he was massive.
That's the part I wanted you to bring up to the listeners that have not heard you before talk about it. Okay, now let's press the other button. Go on back to that page where you were.
Okay, excuse me, I missed that.
Okay. I the reason why I asked you to bring that out, because there's so many people out there who have not heard your story.
Oh, so, I see. I understand.
That's the reason why I wanted you to go back to that point. So now, let's go back to what we were talking about before I was so rude to interrupt you. This way we could bring on Mike. So there was nothing else that we needed to cover off the last show. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're fine. Yeah, everything, said everything.
So now we know who Mike is. Mike is who teaches at the fort up there.
Mm-hmm.
And Special Ops Division, huh?
Correct.
Retired.
He wants to make it known he's retired, but he works on the military. Yeah. Well, here, I'll let him tell you.
Hey, Tom, you got plenty of time. Mitch is sick. And he won't dial in, so we got plenty of time.
Okay, fine. Thank you for that, Marco. This is a good thing. Mike, you out there?
Hello, sir. Right here.
Mike, how are you?
Well, and yourself?
Thank you. I'm super well, and by having you on the show now, I'm even going to be better.
Okay.
we love Becky, and she's been a part of us now for a few years, and she's respected throughout the industry, and
that's
now
right.
That she's got
yeah.
you there as a future son-in-law, maybe it's even better.
I hope so. That's the plan. Yeah.
So the key to this whole thing is this, Mike. Tell us your encounter, and tell us what's going on up there on the base.
Well, I got to tell you, first of all, I want to point out, you know, my integrity level coming from being an ex-soldier, especially from the special ops community, I have a high level of integrity, okay? And, what I saw that night, I'm going to tell you, man, I don't know, you know? I've been trained, and guess what? Trained some more through our government to do my mission and my job for my country. And what I saw that night was just something I don't know what it was. Long story short, man, I was on duty. I operate out on the fort. It's somewhat very, very deep in the woods. It's in a classified location for obvious reasons I can't tell, but Just be known that it is in a location where it's very heavily wooded, very, very little, you know, surroundings of towns, i.e. persons, you know, stuff like that. So it was around early morning, 2-ish in the morning, you know, I'm taking the government pickup on back on the main base, which is about a 20, 25-minute drive down to the shopette to pick up some chow, pick up some lunch chow. So I did that successfully, you know, get my stuff, come back on to this, what they call Range Road. Range Road is just a road that you got to pass to kind of get out to this area of isolation. Okay. And so, you know, driving along, high beams on. I come into my little road. It's a paved road, which turns into a dirt road. Turn right. And I got the high beams on, the big Chevy Silverado, you know, late 90s model, big truck. And I turned the corner, and you know what I saw, like something leaning, like it was resting, tired, with its arm, its left arm, against the tree trunk, you know, kind of like its head buried into its forearm resting on a tree, like it was kind of taking a break. Weird. Like it was resting or something, like it was, you know, it was panting. I don't know. And I caught a glimpse of it, and I kind of did a double take, and I was like, what? You know, I'm turning the corner, and I see, okay, you have shrubbage. You have a lot of, you know, brush and trees and whatever. And I kind of slowed the truck down, did a double take, backed up, and, you know, just backed the truck up enough just to kind of back up. I want to say parallel from my driver door to this thing was about maybe a good 50 meters. All right. To the left of me. And
let me ask you this, Mike.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. You were on patrol that night?
I want to say patrol. I was on duty. Duty meaning like it's a 24-hour duty. Pretty much when all the soldiers go home, training is done for the day. They cast, you know, the unlucky, you know, I worked with one sergeant when I used to be a sergeant when I was in, and a civilian personnel like myself. And we stay out there all night, you know, whatever. Stay awake, just keeping eyes on the FOB, what they call a FOB. It's an operating base for training. And it's secure. It has chain link fences around this area. And like I said, it's in the middle of nowhere. So when the soldiers come there, they train, it's desolate.
So my question is this. Like, did you fill out an incident report at all?
You know what? No, I didn't. I did not. And the reason why I did not is because, you know, I don't know really what I saw. I saw something big, hairy, and looked like a freaking giant creature, and I don't, you know. And then it just takes off in the woods, like my truck engine startled it, because you know, I hit the gas and I took off, and as I'm doing that, the thing bolts. It bolts into the woods, and I'm looking at the thing running. You know, it's about a good 8.5 feet tall, I would imagine. You know, the color. Well, I gotta tell you, it kind of resembles, it kind of chameleon in with the shrubbage. You know. Whoops. Was that you? Oh, the phone. I want to say maybe grayish, dark grayish.
Michael, here. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
You didn't want to go on and tell any of your superiors or write an incident report. And I tell you why I wouldn't have wanted back then neither, is because I didn't want my CO or fellow associates to think I was crazy. Does that have anything to do with it?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's pretty much it, you know.
That's all I wanted you to say, because let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I hear you loud and clear, there, done that, and I know the reason. Now, the key to it is, since that happened to you, how long ago was that?
Oh, boy, let's see here. When was it? It was about early February, wintertime, definitely, when it was cold out, you know, weather was really cold, and, you know, that's when we like to train a lot,
Was this just 2 months ago, this February?
Yeah. It's a couple months ago.
So it was this recent.
Yeah.
So now, since you've encountered such a thing, have you done any research and found out that there are other stories and other things going on up there on the base that you didn't know about before?
Well, honestly, just the only studying I've done has just been kind of watching over Rebecca's shoulder, her showing me pictures and kind of like getting me kind of in the limelight of like different, incidents captured on tape or video and stuff like that. Because before this, man, I got to tell you, I'm a seer, I got to see it to believe it. You know, I've done tours in Iraq, Afghanistan, and, all the dirt holes of the world, I've seen some pretty bad things, and to go on from that, what I saw, I don't know what I saw. I can't say it's a Sasquatch, a Bigfoot. I don't know, All I know is that I know what I saw, and it baffles me. I kind of want to see it again for some reason, if that makes sense.
Well, it does make sense, Michael, and not only you, but hundreds of thousands of others would love to see it just one time. Not again, but just one time. I got to tell you something. Do me a favor if you can, and welcome to the family, and welcome to the world of Sasquatch.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Welcome.
And this is my first time actually listening. And, my future mother-in-law here is really avid with this, and she gives me great information, and she's very knowledgeable on the subject, and I highly respect that from her. So, again, thank you.
You're welcome. Keep us informed, would you, Michael?
I sure will, no doubt. No doubt. I definitely will.
Thank you so much.
Okay, sir.
A lot more show ahead of us.
Okay, great.
That was Mike Rodriguez, ladies and gentlemen, up there in Puyallup, Washington. Becky, you still with us? Becky, you still there?
Yes.
Okay. He seems to be a pretty nice guy.
Yeah, he doesn't make up stories. When he sees something, he sees something. And he did, when he saw it, one of the first things he said is, he says, it's crazy. He says, this thing was huge, and it ran off on two legs. And I'm like, what? Come back here and sit down. Let's talk right now. What did you say you saw? And we went over and over this. So this is, I'm working right now on, I finally did get through to that Fort Lewis range control area, and I need to go out there and apply for a permit. And I'm planning on doing that, and he also can get clearance for me, and we're trying to coordinate this so that he can take me out there to that area. And this is another thing that I'm trying to do right now.
Well, Becky, we talked, and what my sentiments on that, so when you do get that, let me know ASAP, would you?
I will, right away.
Bunny, thank you so much for sharing with us, and just mute out. We still got a lot more show ahead of us, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thanks,
have a good
day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Becky Butella, ladies and gentlemen, up there in Puyallup, Washington. Marco, let's go pay some bills. Do a commercial.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
Turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. To see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We hear screams. Breaking day, we hear these siren-type screams.
They just were too early.
And then,
frozen like a tree.
The
hand
was
freaking
into the woods.
Female.
The creature lives.
Bigfoot lives in a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Back to you, Tom, and Alex.
Okay. Yeah. And by the way, Marco, Mitch Waite is on. He's on there. He can't talk too good, but he's on
right now.
I don't even have him listed.
No, he's there. Mitch, are you there? If you got, tune in. Talk to us.
Yeah, I think he called in on a different line, but he says he feels too hushed to talk, so he gave me permission to talk about what happened to us that day.
I don't have him dialed in at all.
Okay, that's good enough. Don't worry about it. Here's the deal. First of all, good evening, Alex.
Hi, Pop.
Listen, what do you think of that deal right now with the foot on the Patterson thing?
I was the one that posted that link. I was guest whatever before I logged in. And that's probably a lot of Leroy's stuff. You know, the guy actually says he gets all his data from other links and other websites. So I'm sure most of his photos up there are Leroy's to begin with. But, yeah, where's the toes, right? And why does a creature that big that obviously has a chocolate, brown, black-colored face, you know, skin on his face, what little is there, have a white pad on its foot? And it really doesn't look white. It's gray. You know, I don't know. I just always succumb to the idea that that Leroy's right on, that there's something fishy here. There's something about everything that they say that doesn't make sense, you know. And I've analyzed this. I was going to take a look at it myself with a couple of people here in the media company that I deal with. And, you know, I analyzing a couple of Bob Gimlin's speeches and going over, you know, the facts, even by his own timeline, but by the timeline I've seen from Leroy, you know, I found a 3, 4, 5 discrepancies that I jotted down and got on the phone and started calling people. And, of course, Leroy, first guy I get in touch with whenever I hear any of this stuff. And it's, you know, there's something more to the story. I think Leroy's on top of it more than anybody else. Obviously, John Green does, too.
Okay, well, you know, that's your opinion, and it's an honest one. There's some other people that you talk about that don't register too high in my books, but that's okay. You know, I'm, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at this assignment and bill of sale. I'm looking at it right now. That there's that Roger Patterson famous signature. I'm going to read it to you. It says, in consideration of payment by the grantee of $500 to Roger Patterson, the grantor, receipt of which payment is hereby acknowledged, the grantor hereby sells, assigns, transfers, and conveys to Glenn A. Kohling all property rights, copyrights, and all other of the grantor's property and interest in and to the book Do a Bonneville Snowman of America Really Exist, of which book Roger Patterson is the author, and which book is published by the Franklin Press, Yakima, Washington, 1966, to have and to hold unto the grantee his heirs and assigns forever, dated in Yakima, Washington, the 27th day of October, 1966. And it's certified here. 1966. Unbelievable. Good work. Good work well done here, Leroy. And it's filed. It's right here, ladies and gentlemen. I never knew this. And that was a year, 4, 5 days less than a year than those pictures were supposedly be taken, and this thing had already been done. I'll be damned. Well, it just goes to show you, with the world of the Internet, you can't get by with anything today. And it's amazing. It's totally amazing. Well, let's shelve that. Tell us what happened with all those cameras you guys picked up there in AZ.
By the way, thank you, Leroy. I was reading that as Tom read it off. He sent it to me, too, Pop. We had a good trip. We just went up for 2 days. We had a great trip. First day, we scanned the area, set up camp. We found a few locations. We found a clump of fir in one of our areas that we check all the time. I'm near where Mitch has fertilized the berries. We found a puffy patch of grass. It's already blooming up there, and, you know, that's 3 weeks ago now. It's just beautiful country. It's starting to turn green. We found a beautiful bedding area, but it looked like something maybe was bedding there and had been attacked. There was definitely something had attacked what looked like a white-tailed deer and took off a piece of its butt. There was a bunch of fur with skin matter, follicle still attached. We collected it. We don't think it's Bigfoot fur. We think it's probably the tail end of a doe. Or I guess it could be a buck, but of a whitetail. And while we were there the next day collecting the sample of hair with, you know, plastic container forensically, a bunch of deer started coming through. And they were trotting off the side of the embankment there. It's not an embankment, it's an incline up the hill. You know, it's forested. And they were coming down, and obviously they come right through this area all the time. And as, you know, the attack kind of proves, while this was happening, something let out a grunt at us. It was much closer than the deer. The deer were probably 50 yards away, got within 30 yards away. This sounded like it was right on top of us, but we couldn't see anything. But, of course, as soon as that grunt was let out, the deer scattered up the hill. And what it turned out to be like a mini little herd or a family of deer, actually, is what it looked like. There was a couple of older deer and a bunch of smaller ones. And they started making clicking and clacking noises and scattered up the hill. But the first grunt we heard was really loud, and it was kind of directed towards us. And you know, I've been holding off telling anybody about this, waiting for Mitch. He had to fly up to Utah, or figuratively, as soon as we got home. And so I didn't want to steal the thunder from him or from him and I. But he said, go ahead and start telling people because he's been up there a little longer than he wanted to be. Whatever grunted at us was right near us. It was early in the morning of our second day there. And, you know, obviously at the morning deer feeding time, you know, they seem to feed early and late, kind of like fish do, right at daylight and right at dusk. And they were coming down to probably, you know, hit the creek there, or the berries aren't out yet, but the foliage is starting to turn green. The apple trees that Mitch fertilizes are budding already. So it's going to be a great year up there for the animals, and there's already some kind of activity. It was a loud grunt. It was aimed at us. The more I think about it, I think it was kind of disturbed with us. We were in its way. You know, it probably wanted to catch itself a deer, and we messed it up, you know, kind of like blew the sting for it, so to speak. And then prior to that night, we set up the surveillance before we went to bed. We had some whistling happen in camp too. Whistled at us, whistled from, you know, kind of the left, whistled back from the right. We whistled, it kind of answered. We tried to record it on Mitch's recording equipment, not sure if it came out. We did have some wild cat activity Mitch caught on the surveillance cam. Looks to me, I actually said jokingly, looks like a Jaguarundi, and I was really kind of just picking a small cat off the top of my head. But I went and looked up the kind of creatures, and I still haven't been able to examine the film, except for that one time I saw it in the camper.
Oh, was it a bobcat?
No, it was smaller than a bobcat, short legs, a little puffier, had some striping. I think it was a Jaguarundi, which is just, you know, a small cat, smaller than an ocelot. Wasn't big enough and lanky enough to be an ocelot. It was probably just slightly bigger than a domestic cat, but a little bit furrier with some striping. It hit the picnic table shortly after we went to bed. It knocked a frying pan, big heavy cast iron type frying pan, awesome. I think it's actually steel, but, you know, big, heavy one that Mitch brings camping. Knocked it off the picnic table and scared itself and ran off. And about an hour later, I believe it was, and I'm guessing, it's all time-stamped. It came back with a little one and, you know, rummaged around through whatever scraps we had left out. We clean up the camp because of bears, but we do leave, you know, a dirty pan here or there or some biscuits out for Bigfoot, you know. And that night we attracted some cats, which was pretty neat.
You know what? What about the images on the trail trips that you picked up? Anything?
I don't believe Mitch has got to download them completely yet. You know, we looked at them on the cameras and limited in the camper. And, you know, as soon as we got back, within a day, he went up to Utah. I don't believe he brought all his stuff with him. He probably brought other stuff because he's got, you know, his wife Susan with him. So we haven't got to go over all the chips. We did have that unique incident where the camera got, looks like smashed a little bit. The actual lens is damaged. Not sure if the camera will be able to take any pictures or, you know, turn on and off from the infrared because the lens that protects that is all scraped up. That camera also, and, you know, there's just no way a bear could do this. It's one of Mitch's better cameras. It's not a cheapie. It's a nice camera. It seems fully intact, except for the scrapes on the lens. Doesn't seem like it's been damaged in that it's lost its seal. We opened that camera up. The outside of it had a clammy, oily, made your skin crawl feeling. And when Mitch opened it up, you know, kind of like when you, you know, if you've ever had an animal urinate on your equipment or anything like that, it gave you that kind of feeling. You know, you can just tell it's oily urine. And so I tossed that camera down to Mitch, and before I got down, he had it open, and it was full of a oily yellow substance. Now, a bear could go up and beat the hell out of the camera. A bear might even be able to get the damn thing open, right? I know they like the insulation and that kind of stuff, so they will try to open pieces of equipment like that, refrigerators, cameras, you name it. But they can't shut the thing again. This was shut up and relatched, full of orange, yellow, oily, kind of urine-y smelling liquid. And I mean, you could pour it out. So Mitch was going to take that home, swab it, and, you know, clean up the camera, and then reseal it and put it to a hose and see if any water gets in there, but I'm sure he hasn't had the time yet. But that's real interesting. We've had a problem up in this area where the cameras get attacked. They get turned around. I mean, you know, I was climbing up there for Mitch, you know, two or three spikes and getting the cameras down. But he had David put them up for him most of the time. They're up there pretty good, you know. Now, we get right up there with Mitch's spikes. They screw right into the tree. And the few times I've done it for him, I think two or three times now, you know, I have David's holes to go in. I don't have to re-tap the holes. So it's a lot easier for me than David. But, you know, creatures can't do that, or other people might not have the spikes that we have. You know, I'm sure a bear, or in this case, an ape-like creature could climb that tree. I'm sure a bear could get the camera open. Don't know if it could shut it. So we have some testing to do to see what's going on there. But we've had a lot of incidents where the cameras have gotten, you know, messed up. And it's
okay, son, let me see you right there. Boy, I didn't know, but we're 10 minutes over time. And to be continued, ladies and gentlemen. To be continued next week. Son, thank you. Mitch, thank you for all your input via Alex.
And thank you to all my guests tonight. Kudos and salutations around the world. Good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are.
And everybody, our good friend Jan Allen will be on Blog Talk Radio on Monday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time for Georgia Adventures. Why don't you tune in and listen to him? Good night, everybody.
Ivan was an old bear tracker. Tom was a man of dreams.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Marco Bill, and that's the Bigfoot Live radio show for this week. All of us on the Bigfoot Live Network would like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests for joining us tonight for an exciting evening of talk show entertainment where you, the listeners, become a part of our on-the-air adventure. And we'd also like to thank you, our listeners, for sharing our adventure with us. Join us again next Wednesday evening for another exciting hour of Bigfoot Live radio show with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. Until then, this is Marco Bill saying good night, and be good, be safe, and be here next week. See you then. Reason for that.